In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Just today, pray for Lenore Meccano, who normally would sit there with Pearl, her sister. We know them well. They're part of our vital life here at St. Andrew's. And yesterday, after messy church, they were walking home and they decided to change route and go and see Malcolm. Sadly, Lenore fell on the way, and we think she's broken her femur. The difficulty was that she was in the heat of the day for 3 hours with the sun beating down, waiting for an ambulance. And Barbara and I arrived for just part of that time, for the last hour and a half, to be with her. So I went to see her in hospital last night. She's in good spirits, but as you can imagine, particularly when you're 80 years of age, things can have a radical effect. So pray for Lenore today. Romans chapter 8. Now, I don't know whether you folks read your Bible at home. A lot of people come to church, they don't read the Bible at home, and they don't pray, sadly. But if there were any parts of the Bible I would recommend that you certainly need to know that should be on your bucket list, the top 100, certainly it should be Romans chapter 8. Because it tells us how we receive our salvation, how God makes us good despite our life and who we are. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. So, if you don't read the Bible, start reading the Bible and go home. By the way, if you haven't got a Bible, take one from the pews. We'll replace it. I would rather you at least had a Bible at home than not had one. But learn what the wonderful message is of Romans chapter 8. Now, I want to go through some of this today. Now, has everybody got a handout? It's called There Is Now No Condemnation. Because we're going to go through that in a minute. Don't start reading it, because I want to say something to you first of all. We're going to go through it quickly, because it's so important. First of all, what does it mean when it says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? First of all, in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? All the way through the New Testament, particularly in Paul, we get this phrase, in Christ, we are in Christ. I'm going to give you a very simple illustration. In the early hours of this morning, I was looking for some Playmobil. Okay? This is Lyndon. Here he is. Lyndon repents. And repentance means to turn to Christ. To turn to Christ. It means to actually acknowledge the existence of who Jesus is, and if you like, to look at him and receive the life that comes from him, to repent, to turn to Christ. Then through your baptism, you are made like Christ through our baptism. We are buried with Christ. So you see what it says on my envelope? What does it say? In Christ. So through repentance and through our baptism, we are in Christ. Trouble comes our way. We are still in Christ. Maybe we're enormously successful in our life. We make a huge amount of money. We live in a fabulous home. We go on glorious holidays. And we can send our kids to the best schools. You are still in Christ despite your success. Maybe we struggle and actually we commit an awful lot of sin. We are still in Christ. You see, this is something that is permanent. We are in Christ for all of the days of our life. But it must come through two key things. First of all, repentance, by turning to Christ. And secondly, through our baptism, when we are buried with Christ and we come to new life in Christ. That's what keeps us. So this will keep us to the very last days of our breath. So for example, imagine a situation where you are standing at the gate of heaven and Peter says to you, "Why should I let you into God's heaven?" What would your answer be? Here's the answer. I am in Christ. Remember that. Not the good things I've done. Not because of the way I've behaved. Not because I've kept the rules. Not because I've tried my best. None of these things will save you. This is the critical thing about the heart of the gospel. What saves us is that we are in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. And by the way, when you're in Christ, what Paul says, nothing can condemn you. No one can condemn you. You might convict, you might do the occasional sin as we all do daily, but you are not condemned. You might feel convicted for the wrong that you does because that is a work of the Spirit, but you are not condemned. By the way, it's so important. It means that when we are maybe in a hospital and we're coming to our very last breath, and maybe we're full of fear because of our eventual demise and our death, we can still be at peace, even in that last moment, as we face our Maker. Why? Because we are in Christ. Wow. It keeps us for the whole of our days. If you fear death here today, many of us do, you need to know that you're in Christ. If you feel that you are constantly condemned and you never make the sort of life that you would want and love to live, what you need to realize is that you are in Christ. It will keep you right to the very end. And by the way, if you've not been baptized, let me encourage you to be baptized, to die with Christ in your baptism when you are buried with Christ, rise into new life, because that is part of the journey of being in Christ. Repentance, a baptism in Christ. Now let's go to our little sheet and we're going to try and get this through this very quickly. Have you got it? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go fast, but keep up with me. What does no condemnation mean? Condemnation is more than feeling guilty. It is the guilty verdict that stands against us because of our sin. Through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that verdict has been removed. Those who are united to Christ by faith and baptism are forgiven, accepted, and reconciled to God. This does not mean that Christians never sin. Of course they do. It means that our sins no longer define our standing before God. We are no longer under his judgment, but under grace. The Christian does not work for acceptance. The Christian lives from acceptance. That's the heart of the gospel. Quickly, I'm going to go through this. What might we observe in someone living in the freedom of Romans 8, 1? No condemnation and in Christ. First, peace instead of fear. They are not constantly anxious about whether God accepts them. They know that they are loved and can approach God with confidence. Two, freedom instead of shame. They confess their sins honestly, but are not trapped by guilt. They know that Christ has paid the price for their failures. Three, very important, joy instead of despair. A deep joy begins to grow because that their hope rests in Christ rather than their circumstances. They might be diagnosed with cancer, but there's a joy there because they know that there is a hope beyond this life. They might face all sorts of difficulty in their life that might come their way, but still there's a joy and a hope there because they know that they are united with Christ. Fourth, gratitude instead of pride. They recognize that salvation is God's gift. The attitude becomes, look how gracious God is to me. Fifth, confidence instead of insecurity. This is really important. Because their identity is found in Christ, they are less controlled of what others think about them. Their worth no longer depends on achievements, reputation, wealth, success, popularity, appearance, or status. That's how the world, that's called the fleshy attitude that we've got in Romans 8 that we read late earlier. They are free to be who God has called them to be because their acceptance rests in Christ rather than the approval of others. Many of us have spent most of our life seeking the approval of others. When you're confident in Christ, you don't need to seek that anymore. It gives you freedom. 6, obedience instead of legalism. They seek to follow Christ not because they are trying to earn God's love, but because they have already received it. 7, mercy instead of judgment. Those who know that they have been forgiven become more willing to forgive others. If you really struggle to forgive others, if there's a deep resentment towards people, maybe in this congregation here, let me remind you of this, that you have been forgiven so much, so therefore you should be the first ready to forgive. 8, courage instead of self-protection. When we know that God has accepted us in Christ, we become free from the need to protect ourselves. Now watch this, we can admit our own mistakes, apologize when we are wrong, take risks for the kingdom of God, speak the truth with grace and love, persevere through sufferings and disappointment, continue serving when the results are not immediately visible, face uncertainty without panic. You know, there's been a huge amount of uncertainty in our own life here for our family about our home in the last year and 18 months. But we've tried to live beyond that circumstance because we don't allow it to define us. We trust the Lord. Trust God with our future. Stand for what is right even when it is costly. Very important in our current age. A reminder here, this wonderful line from Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. 9, freedom instead of comparison. They no longer need to prove themselves by competing with others. Many of us have spent most of our life competing. Not if you're a Christian. They can celebrate the gifts and successes of others because their own acceptance is already secure in Christ. And then 10, finally, hope instead of hopelessness. They know that their future is held securely in Christ. Their failures are not the final word. It's God's promises. So we turn over. Questions for us to think about today, to finish. Do I live as though God has truly forgiven me? Do you live with a constant sense of guilt? You need to be free from that, from Romans 8:1. Am I carrying guilt that Christ has already dealt with? Am I trying to earn God's acceptance rather than receiving it? Which of these qualities is most visible in my life? Which quality is the Holy Spirit calling me to grow in? Finally, no condemnation does not mean no conviction. The Holy Spirit will show us our sin so that we may repent and grow. But condemnation says you are guilty and beyond hope. The gospel says you are forgiven, loved, accepted, and called to a new life. Wonderful. That's all in Romans 8, verse 1. So the verdict of the gospel for you today, if you only realize this, you are not condemned. You are forgiven. You are accepted. You are in Christ. You are a child of God. Now, I tell you, I would like you to take this and read it. I was talking earlier to Pam. She said a lot of people take these and put them back before they go. I'd like you to get this because it's wonderfully powerful. You understand it. It's life-giving. It can free you today. It can get you out of that prison cell that we're so often in our life, where we're constantly condemned and we fail. This is life if you understood it. So take it and read it. And you know, I'll be leaving soon. And if there's one message I'd like to give you, get hold of this. Get hold of Romans chapter 8. Understand it, because it's life-giving. And many of us live lives which are way beyond par. We just live like the rest of the world because we've never really got the truth of the gospel. It's never become really ours. He promises you freedom, people. Promises you freedom. Amen. Thank you for listening. Let's stand for the creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, eternally God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We come to pray, so please sit or kneel as Sue leads us.
Loving God, just as rain falls and waters the earth, we pray that your word may fall on the good soil of our hearts and bear fruit. We lift our prayers to you for the church and the world. We ask you to be with those who spread your word. Grant them boldness, wisdom, and grace. Let the seeds of your truth fall on hearts prepared by your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of power, we pray for the church across the world. May we be faithful sowers of your good news, scattering seeds of hope, love, and justice. Break up the hard ground of the hearts of those who do not know you. Soften their defenses so that when they hear your truth, they can understand and accept it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for peace, justice, and reconciliation across the globe. We lift up world leaders, local councils, and all in authority, that they may listen to your guidance and work towards the flourishing of all people. We pray especially for areas torn by conflict, poverty, or natural disaster, especially the Venezuelan earthquake and its ramifications. May the seeds of peace be planted in places of brokenness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all who are facing difficulties, hardships, or illness. We lift to you those who feel they are walking through dry and weary lands, those who are grieving, and those weighed down by anxiety. May they experience your healing touch, and may we be instruments of your comfort to our neighbors in need. And at this time, we pray especially for Lenore Meccano Green in the hospital. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we commend to your unfailing love those who have recently died and those whose anniversaries fall at this time. We pray for Chaime Mrabet and Ant Whitcomb, who have died recently, and we remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Florence Layton, Deborah Currens, Anne George, William Judge, and Mary Cook. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Everlasting God, thank you for the blessings of this past week, for our families, friends, and the beauty of creation. Lord, remove the thorns of anxiety distraction and materialism from our lives. Guard our hearts so that worldly desires do not choke out your word. As we go about our daily lives, help us to be mindful of your presence in our homes, schools, and workplaces. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Spirit God, we pray for all sportsmen and women taking part in all the international sports at this time. May they play with joy and respect for each other, and may all the countries they represent also join together in the spirit of brotherhood and love for one another. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.